church. How has our week been? To God be the glory. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing majesty. We're singing majesty. Forever, forever, I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Let's take it one more time. Singing majesty, majesty. We're singing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. In the presence of your majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Your presence is so sweet, Lord. We honor you, we reverence you. You are the King of Kings, the Lord over all. We adore you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you because you have us at heart. Thank you for your thoughts towards us. Thank you for your plan towards us. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you for your will. Lord, we exalt you. And Father, Lord, even as I was speaking this evening, I see less of me and more of you in the name of Jesus. That you speak through me in the name of Jesus. Reaching out to every one of us that we may be blessed by your words in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks and glory. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. This evening, please, let's appreciate Seth Man. Let's appreciate Seth Man. Let's appreciate Seth Man. He has been the shepherd over this house, and I'm so sure that every one of us, we have been blessed, we have been touched by his ministry in one way or the other. So we appreciate the grace of God upon your life. Thank you for yielding to the Lord. It's a major reason why some of us are here today, why we can stand in God's presence, why we can see that God has been good to us. It's because of the sacrifices that you have made. And we want to thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Come on, let's appreciate him again. Amen. So, this evening, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 is my emphasis. As his divine power has given to us all things. I hope all wasn't italicized in your Bible, because that means it's either supposed to be there or not supposed to be there. But in my Bible, it wasn't italicized. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through flesh. Hallelujah. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So, in our living, His power has given us everything that we need to live life and to be godly. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere, please. Just stay with me. To live life and to be godly. It says, but through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of Him. So the power has given unto us, but through the knowledge. So that means if the knowledge is not there, even though the power has given it to you, you may not be able to tap and access it. Hallelujah. It says, by this, He has given unto us great and precious promises, that through this, that means these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, that means that there is a way that you can live your life and be godly and be partakers of the divine nature. And even with that, you are escaping the corruption that is in the world through flesh. Escaping the corruption that is in the world through flesh. And so, I want to put it to us this evening. We all know, especially the times in which we are right now, that many people say, and many people believe that the way to, in quotes, make it, the way to prosper, the way to excel is by doing things the way they are done. So for example, you are in Nigeria and you are in school, you are schooling and you want to pass your exams, and they tell you the way to go is by bribing your lecturers. The way to go is by sleeping with your lecturers if you want to excel. And because it has become a, you can't compare the way it is now with the way it was then 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was still a thing of, a thing that will be mentioned in the secret. 10 years ago, it was semi-secret. Now, it's out in the open. It is out in the open. You say, do you want to pass? You know what to do. What are you to do? You know what to do. As in, it's so open right now. And so, so people think that because of that, there's no way out except to go through that route. But His word says that you can partake in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through flesh, through lust. Hallelujah. You can partake in that divine nature. And we've heard of stories where, even in such situations that I just described, the Lord miraculously intervened. Either the lecturer was disgraced or the lecturer was moved out of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. And so in the world, there are diverse trials and temptations that people face. Someone will ask, what's the difference between trials and temptation? Temptation appeals to yourself. Trials go against yourself. I will say it again. Temptation appeals to yourself, while trials, they go against yourself. So, for example, there's this deal that came up, and you were approached to partake in that deal, and it's a shady deal, and there's the assurance and the guarantee that at the end of this deal, the money that you have never seen before in your life will hit your account. Now, everybody, I want to believe everybody needs money. Everybody has need for money. And so when that comes, that appeals to that need that you want. That appeals to the self that you want. So that's a temptation. Trials, on the other hand, they go against yourself. So for example, you have been told, in order to pass your exams, you have to sleep with the guy. That's a trial. Because naturally you don't want to do that. That's number one. But number two, because of what you can gain, then people consider it and people do it. So that's a trial and not a temptation like that. But this evening, we have our advocate, we have the person that we look up to, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who came into the world, lived 33 years on earth, died, and then went back to, resurrected, and then went back to heaven. So the Bible says that he was tempted in all ways, just as we are, yet without sin. So it's our classic example to look up to when we talk about temptation and how not to fall into temptation. Please, can we open Luke chapter 4, verse 2. Luke 4 from verse 2. And I read. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So, some people say there's a contradiction. Can the Holy Spirit lead someone to be tempted by the devil? That is it on purpose that, but you know there's temptation there. Why would you lead me through that path? But Jesus was led so that it can become an example for us in handling temptation when they come our way. So I continue reading. It says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he had nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil starts. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Verse 4 says, but Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'll say it again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Remember our opening passage. His divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And how can we gain knowledge of him? Through his word. And he's saying here that by every word of God, a man should live. So there are times when it is required to eat. There are times when you are not supposed to eat. Hallelujah. Which was demonstrated by Jesus here. There will be times when you'll be required to fast. And a lot of people don't like fasting because you are denying yourself of something that your body needs, in quotes. But however, you know, there are times when you are building up strength and you are receiving endowment, you are being built up in the Holy Ghost and all that. Those are moments that prepare you for the future. Those are moments that it says you prepare for war in the time of peace. It is not when war comes that you now start learning how to use a sword or how to shoot gun. By that time that you are learning, you're already a gunner. Do you understand? So when Jesus said, by every word of God, not just by bread. That means not things of the flesh, not the physical things, not bread and wine, bread and water, but by every word of God. Because God's word has the ability even to provide bread. God's word has, that's very evident. A graphic example of that was the provision of manna for the children of Israelites. Hallelujah. So God's word has the ability to do anything, and it is able to sustain a man. But note this, that for the first temptation, Jesus replied, saying, it is written. Jesus replied, saying, it is written. We'll go on, then I will come back to that. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Was the devil lying here? Can someone answer that? When he said, all this authority I will give unto you, did the devil have the authority over the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time? Thank you. Yes, he had, because man had bequeathed that authority to the devil. So he had it. You will say he wasn't lying, right? But there's nothing the devil does. The Bible says he's a father of lies. Do you understand? So that's why we need to be very careful. There's nothing the devil does that does not have a lie in it. Lie is his character, is his inherent ability. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. I put it to you that if Jesus had worshipped before him, there would have been a semblance of the handover of authority. But trust me, the devil does not give. The devil steals. The devil kills. The devil destroys. So if Jesus had fallen for that, he would have lost everything. But what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. I'll come back to that. Verse 9 says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Did the devil lie? He quoted the scripture, right? He said, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. It is written, right? But hear what Jesus said. It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. And when the devil had ended every temptation, it departed from him until an opportune time. Hallelujah. So, the third temptation listed here in Luke 4 was the temptation of Jesus proving God's word, right? It says, just jump and see the angels at work, bearing you up in their hands. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Meaning that you don't, for no reason, just go. He gets to the river and you start walking on water. For what purpose? You just want to prove that the way Jesus called Peter to walk on water, that you two can walk on water, it doesn't serve any purpose. It is not serving any purpose. It's a different case if you were on a journey and then something happened and then you are required to jump out of your ship and all that. In such cases, you trust God for deliverance and the deliverance will come. Do you understand? But you don't go out tempting the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Now, the three temptations of by Satan in the wilderness were not the only temptations that Jesus suffered. I hope we know that. There were several other. There was the one in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed that the cup be passed over him, but nevertheless at the will of God. In this case, he was overwhelmed knowing what he had to go through. So the human side of him came out. The human side, knowing that at a particular point in time, God will have to look away from him. God will have to turn his back on him for something that he did not do, for something that the world did. It's a different case if they did it to somebody else. They were still doing it to him. Do you understand? And yet he had to die for the person doing that to him. So the human side of him came out. If it be your will, let this cup pass over me. But nevertheless, at your will, not mine. And he continued praying and he continued praying. And it was recorded that tears of blood came out of his eyes. And he prayed and prayed and prayed until that time when he stood up. And he went to meet the disciples and he says, it is time, let us go. What happened then? In the place of prayer, he had poured out his heart and he had received strength to go on. He had poured out his heart and he received strength to go on. So which comes to a very, very, very important point that we must not neglect. You can never overemphasize the place of prayer in the life of a Christian. You cannot say, it's just prayer that they are talking about. It's just prayer. See, Jesus was a man of prayer. He will pray in the morning, he will pray in the afternoon, he will pray in the evening. He will pray at night. Oh, he would leave where people are just to have that communion. Why? Because of the strength that was needed. If you notice, at every point in time, he had answers. He had answers for every situation that came. He had answers, both positive and negative situations that came his way. He had answers. Why? Because number one, he was a man of prayer. He was so in tune with God that he could express the mind of God. And so when situations came his way, he was able to master, he was able to stay in charge. Hallelujah. And so after that, when he was captured and he was taken before the governor, Pilate then, and they said all kinds of things, trying to get him worked up. But the Bible said, he never said a word. He never said a word. Which brings us to that point that there are times when you are faced with some things, when you are faced with some situations, you do not speak. You do not speak. When you are hungry, that is not the time to speak. When you are hungry, that is not the time to speak. When someone has offended you and you are boiling with anger, that is the time to, let me join to what's introflect. That's reflect inwardly. Do you understand? And do not say a word. When you are calmer, and then you could speak, not from your flesh, that is when you should speak. You do not speak when you're hungry, because when you're hungry, the flesh is flashing. It's flashing its light. It's flashing its light. It wants to just, don't hold me back. Let me express myself. Do you understand? And when you start speaking, have you noticed that in the heat of anger and you say some words, afterwards when you calm down and you go back, you wonder, is it me that said this kind of thing? How did these words come out of my mouth? How, where in my mental faculty did I feel it was right to say something like this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you do not speak in such moments. Amen. Temptation is never as great as when one has made a public declaration of faith, as did our Lord when he was baptized in the Jordan. When he came out publicly to be baptized, and there was a stamp from heaven. There was the word of God, the voice of God that came out. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased with. And everybody saw that. And they knew that that was the anointed. And yet, the next moment, he was led to be tempted. Hallelujah. So that brings me to my next point. In moments of great victory, in moments of great expression of God's power, God's anointing, God's grace, in moments when the Lord showed up for you so mightily, be watchful. Be watchful. Because the devil will come. He will orchestrate circumstances and situations that will bring trial or temptation your way. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. In moments of great victory, in moments of great expression of God's grace, anointing and grace, in moments when God does something great and mighty, that he announces himself, the devil also wants to take advantage. Do you understand? And he will want to also express himself. So that's why they say, for example, for anointed men of God. After great expressions of God's grace in diverse ways through them, it is usually wise when they go back and they don't stay basking in the euphoria of that victory, in the euphoria of God's expression and all that. That is the time when they need to go back and recharge, because they have expressed. Do you understand? They've expressed. So they either half empty or empty. So at that moment, they need to go back and recharge. They need to go back and recharge. Because if that is the moment when they've let down the guard. Because, do you understand? And the devil, mind you, he has been around for a long time. One thing that the devil is wise. He is wise. He is wise. He has been around longer than man. He knows man's history. Do you understand? He knows the kind of things he can bring man's way that will make him sway and then eventually fall. So that's why God's word says that we should be wise to the wiles of the devil. We should not be ignorant. We should be wise to it. So you have to put yourself out there. You don't take anything for granted. Hallelujah. You don't take anything for granted. So there are several things that the Bible has instructed on ways to deal with temptation and trials. There's the lust of the flesh. There's a lust of the eyes. There's the pride of life. All temptations are broadly categorized into those three. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted to turn stone to bread, that was the lust of the flesh because he was hungry. When he was taken to the temple and asked to jump down, that was the lust of the eyes. When he was given that was the pride of life. When he was shown the whole kingdom and asked to bow, that was the lust of the eyes. Do you understand? So temptations are broadly categorized into those three. For the lust of the flesh, you flee. Hallelujah. What did I say? You flee. There are so many places where the Bible mentioned it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. So there is that. That's the lust of the flesh. There's no bargaining. There's no standing. There's no waiting to test the waters. No, you flee immediately. That is the instruction. Flee. That is the wisdom of God for that situation. Do you understand? It might seem foolish, but hey, it's your destiny we are talking about. You flee completely. Hallelujah. Joseph. A very great example of that. At every point in time, he would not even want to be with her. Do you understand? He was not going to be with her. Not to now talk of giving the allowance for talks like that. And then the day she finally caught him alone, what did he do? He ran out half naked now. He left what she used to hold him and fled. Hallelujah. So you flee. You don't wait. And as you are fleeing, you don't look back and say, is he following me? No, you flee. Hallelujah. The grace, the strength to do the right thing God will give unto us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So I'm reading from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Easy to read version. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." It says, "For all that is in the world is not from the Father, but is from the world." Hallelujah. And it says, the world is passing away along with its desires. The ijapa of the 70s and 80s is nowhere to be found today. Yet there were people who would kill for that ijapa. Sorry, if you don't know the meaning of ijapa, I'm talking about the Volkswagen Beetle car. In Yoruba, it's called the Japa. In the 70s, that was the reigning car. But now, it's nowhere to be found. In the 2000s, we were talking about BlackBerry. Where is BlackBerry today? And I put it to you that all this our Android and the iPhone 13, Abi, that's the latest, Abi. This is 2021. By 2025, 26, they will be obsolete. You heard about what technology is saying now. Well, all you need to do is just to dial on your hand, whoever you want to call. Do you understand? So, the world is rapidly advancing. Do you understand? It's rapidly advancing. And the rate at which they are turning out things, we don't know anything in Nigeria. We are always late comers to to the happening things, do you understand? But the rate at which things are going, trust me, what is relevant today, give it 6 months, might become irrelevant. So the world is passing along with its desires. The desires are just changing, have you seen what is happening with fashion and trend? The thing that was relevant in the 60s, became irrelevant in the 80s, came back to be relevant again in the 90s, early 20s. I'm talking about boot cut, in case you don't know. Now, it is out of fashion. It is the slim one now that is in fashion. I put it to you, 10, 20 years down the line, that boot cut will come back again. So that's to tell you how fickle the world with its desires are. And so because of, you want to pursue this one, you want to have this one at all cost, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yes, it appeals to yourself, but it is not worth it. It is not worth the salvation of your soul. For you truncating the salvation of your soul, it is not worth it at all. So that's why in this world, we need to focus on the right things. We need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined about what we focus on. Because there are so many distractions there. So many distractions. And St. Paul mentioned it. He said it earlier. You need to be able to focus. You need to be able to focus to do the right things. You need to be able to focus on God's word and not allow distractions come. He said it. He says, if you have to leave watching TV so that you can get in God's word, that is what you have to do. If you have to leave social media, I have a friend, my best man. 2 years ago is what I'm talking about. He deleted everything social media. Facebook, phew. Instagram, phew. Everything social media. Panji, what happened now? We can't reach you. We can't do this one. We can't do this. The only thing he does is WhatsApp. That's the only social media thing that he does. And it's majorly because to reach people. Anything other than that, you will not find Benji anywhere. What happened? He says, the savage, he knows what he's battling with and he knows what is required for him. And so, he took the step. People will say it's unfashionable. People will say it's old school. People will say it's not relevant. He knows what is needed. Do you understand? And he took that step. Not minding what people were saying. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, if it is your right eye that is causing you to sin, if it is your left arm, cut it off. We are speaking figuratively, but then we need to understand the depths of what he was talking about. There are relationships that you need to cut off. Absolutely. Everything is permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Hallelujah. So, for those relationships, without apology, cut it off. Cut it off. If you just cut it off. Because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And what does that mean? That's the rubbing together. When iron rubs with iron, they sharpen themselves. Do you understand? So that means that's the power that relationship has. That's the power that relationship has. And so when you are in the wrong relationship, there's a way that it subtly creeps on you. So let me give an example, an illustration. A fervent in the Lord, serving the Lord, doing great in the spirit, getting built up. B is just there. Do you understand? It's just there. No fire, nothing. There's C. C is totally against the thing of the spirit. Do you understand? Now, B fraternizing with C. That is lukewarmness. Because of the impact that C has. Because B is not grounded, C will swipe him off and then takes him away from A. But if B is focused on A, neglecting B, the fire that A has can rub off on him and he can get charged up. Hallelujah. So relationships are that powerful. They are that powerful. So if you're in the wrong relationship, cut it off. If you're in the right relationship, nurture it. Nurture it. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. It says, so what I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not allowed to do whatever you want to do. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because they are in conflict. The flesh always ministers to yourself, while the Spirit always ministers to Christ in you. The flesh will always gratify the desires of yourself, while the Spirit is all for the Christ that is in you. So that's why he says, when you walk by the Spirit, because if I'm walking this way, I can't at the same time walk this way. I have to face one place. Do you understand? So if I'm walking by the Spirit, I won't walk by the flesh. So I won't be able to gratify the desires of the flesh. But if I walk according to the flesh, I will gratify the desires of the flesh. And I won't be able to do the things of the Spirit. And Christ that is in me will not be glorified. Hallelujah. It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That will not permit me to run through what was stated as the acts of flesh. But anytime you see this in manifestation, there are no two ways about it. Such person is walking by the flesh. When those things are manifested, such person is walking by the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, it says love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because against such things, there is no law. When you have these things in manifestation, it says there is no law. It means there's nothing you can hold against it. There's nothing you can hold against that. And so it says, living by the Spirit, step up according to the Spirit. Living by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this evening, as I try and close, there are things that are to be done, and there are things that you must not do in this walk of life. If you want to live a life of the Spirit, if you want your life to radiate the glory of God, if you want Christ to be expressed in you, then you must be willing to take some steps that go against the grain where your flesh is concerned, but where Christ himself will be glorified. Do you understand? So, propose in your heart to take those steps. Propose in your heart that, yes, you want to live right for God. In living right for God, persecutions will come, trials will come, temptation will come. His word never said that it was going to be a walk in the park. That wasn't what he said. Jesus himself said it. You have these things, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It was for that reason that he came, so that as he's experiencing those things, he's showing the way to overcome those things. And as he has overcome them, and he died, and he resurrected, so that we can have that power of Christ, which is available for us also, so that we can also walk in his steps, doing the things that he did, avoiding the pitfalls that he avoided, do you understand? And taking stand where you're supposed to take stand, and fleeing where you're supposed to flee, all to the glory of his name. So I pray that his grace will be multiplied in our lives in the name of Jesus. It's what says that those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up. They will soar like eagles. They will walk. they will not faint. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31. They will walk, they will not faint. They will run, they will not grow weary. That means as you are swearing, men are not supposed to swear. But because he's giving that supernatural strength to do the supernatural things as if they were ordinary. And when you walk and do not faint, you are doing the natural things supernaturally. Because yes, men are to walk. But if you walk for long, you tend to get faint. But as you wait upon him, he gives you the strength to continue walking. To continue walking. To continue walking. As you are drawing strength from him, you are continually walking. And you will not faint. You will run. And you will not grow weary. Because you are drawing strength from him. Because you are drawing that strength from him. Because he's the one that gives strength to those who are weak. So I pray that even as we tarry in God's presence, as we continue to feast on his word, as we continue to have communion with him, the ease to be able to soar will come in the name of Jesus. The ease to be able to walk without fainting will come in the name of Jesus. The ease to be able to run this race without growing weary will come in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your instructions. Thank you for the path that you have laid down in front of us. Thank you because indeed you are the one who gives power. You are the one who supplies strength. You are the one who gives wisdom. You are the one who breaks the yoke. Lord, I pray that your grace, that grace that will help us even to live right for you, Lord, will be multiplied in the name of Jesus. People will not fall in the name of Jesus. People will not faint in the name of Jesus. Your strength is made available in the name of Jesus. Your strength is made available in the name of Jesus. Your strength is made available in the name of Jesus. And for anyone who perchance is going through whatever trial that it may be, your word says that you will be with us inside the waters. You will deliver us and you will honor us. I pray concerning such people this evening that indeed you will walk through with them in the name of Jesus. You will deliver them in the name of Jesus. And you will honor them in the name of Jesus. And all honor will return back to you in the name of Jesus. This will not be the last of them in the name of Jesus. This will not be the downfall of them in the name of Jesus. They will rise, they will soar, they will run, and they will walk in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because your grace is available for us. We thank you for your power at work in us. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit in us. We bless and glorify your name, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray.